Get right in into 2 Chronicles 20, and we're still talking about a call to prayer. And really, we spent last week talking about the prayer of faith. What's it look like to pray in faith? Anybody ever pray and feel like you got, ain't got an ounce of faith in you? For sure, right? Well, we're going to look at, to me, one of the best prayers in the entire Old Testament this morning. And as you're turning there in your Bibles, or Ruth's getting ready to get up on the TVs, I want to just share a couple thoughts here that the Lord has been giving me over the last couple of weeks. And shared this with a couple of you, but this is a statement the Lord gave me last week, and it's this: fear is nothing more than confidence in a negative outcome. Fear is nothing more than confidence in a negative outcome. And I was up early this morning, up late last night, finishing up my notes, had a busy week, very good week, but a busy week, and actually deleted an entire paragraph because the Lord started speaking to me. So I want to pick it up right here. Fear is nothing more than confidence in a negative outcome. And there's a difference, church, this was early this morning, this Lord told me there's a difference between fear and the spirit of fear. And I don't think we've done a good job in the body of Christ splitting those two things up and teaching properly. Because what do we say? Oh, brother, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Is that true?
Yeah,
of course that's true. Here's the problem, my beloved. The word for fear there in the Greek is not the typical word used translated fear in the rest of the New Testament. The word there is, the direct translation of that word is actually cowardice. We've not been given a spirit of cowardice. Some translations would say timidity, which is actually a pretty good translation, right? Fear, most of the times we see the word fear in the New Testament, it's translated from the word phobos, which we get phobia from, right? If I have a arachnophobia, means I scream like a schoolgirl if there's a spider around. A young schoolgirl. I don't have that range anymore, but I try. Amen, right? Phobia in the psychological world is a debilitating fear, right? If somebody literally has a phobia of something, it paralyzes them. Is that true?
Yeah.
So let me try to explain this for a moment. What happens, my beloved? We all experience fear. Anybody experience fear already in 2023? Come on, be real. I got my hand up for sure, right? And what happens, this little psychology here, it's all right to have a little bit of psychology in the church, just a little. What happens, my beloved, is when we experience fear, our body, God designed our body to have what's called an acute stress response, or the more commonly we call it the fight or flight response. Right? All that is your body telling you that there is potential danger. Is that true? You know who gave that to you? God. God designed your body to recognize the potential for danger. What God does not want us doing, my beloved, is responding to that potential danger with flight. He wants us responding with some fight. Can I get an amen? One movie that the movie wasn't that great. It's a Will Smith movie. Boy, is he falling off the map, huh? Yikes. He movie a few years ago did with his son. And there's a line in this movie, and he says to his son, danger is very real, but fear is an option. Danger is real, but fear is an option. Can I get amen? As I went on to listen to the Lord this morning about this, so what he said to me, a spirit is trying to influence our behavior or our decision making, whether we want to talk about an evil spirit or the Holy Spirit. Either one of those things, spiritual, the spirits that we either submit to the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit, a spirit is trying to get you to do something, trying to get you to respond and act out of a certain way. Is that true? So if you think about, if I can experience fear, And all that is I'm experiencing the awareness of potential danger. But a spirit of fear, a spirit of cowardice is trying to get me to act in a way where I'm withdrawing from this potential danger as like a coward would. Do you understand, church? And this is why we see the Bible tells us to Joshua to be what? Bold and confident. Be confident, be full of, right? Don't be afraid. Is that true? Is this making sense? Yeah. 2 Chronicles 20, we're going to get verse 1 here. We're going to go through the whole chapter and get as far as we can get. There's a lot in my notes here. I'm not going to get to all of it this morning, so I encourage you to read it all because I think there's some very good stuff in here. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with the Ammonites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram, and beheld, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is the En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. Ever say afraid? Jehoshaphat was afraid. But let's all say the next word, church. And turned his attention to seek the Lord. Huh. And he proclaimed a fast on all Judah. Let's pause here for a moment. Think about this. As I was talking about fear just a moment ago, the definition being experiencing fear and subjecting ourselves to a spirit of fear. There's a difference. I can be afraid, but not subject myself to a spirit of fear. I can be afraid, but not act like a coward. Is that true? How many people have ever heard the definition of courage? Courage doesn't mean I'm not afraid. It means I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do, even though I am afraid. Yeah, we always think people, you ever see, I mean, like, you know, military movies, I like watching military movies, and they'll say, you know, the rookie comes in, the rookie Navy SEAL, and he gets in with the veterans, and they're going out to battle, and they are you afraid? The guy said, I'm terrified, but I'm still going. Can I get an amen, church? And here's what we've done. The Lord's been talking to me. He says, in the church, with, as I said last week, with good intention, we have taught people, oh, brother, don't be afraid. Fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. Okay, true. That's true. But if you are going to do something in faith, doing something in faith means it's bigger than you're able to do on your own, which is going to make you experience fear of some type of anxiety, some type of like, yikes, what if this doesn't work out? What if God doesn't show up? What if all these what ifs, right? And we're going to experience that kind of thing. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But God's saying, don't be afraid. You're experiencing fear, but don't let the experience, that emotional, that physical response we get, right? Well, sometimes we might sweat, our minds would race, we can't sleep. He says, don't allow the experience of fear, that fight or flight, that acute stress response, to control what you're going to do. How many people have heard the Bible says don't be afraid 365 times? I've never studied that. Maybe it does. I don't know. But that's so cute. As I was working, finishing up this morning, I just had this picture in my mind. It's at the bottom of my notes, so I'm skipping around a little bit. But and again, I think we've done this in the church where what the Lord showed me was like my young kids, even my teenager, but my young kids, if they come to me and they're afraid, as long as I'm in a good mood, I'm not going to rebuke them because they're afraid. Is that true? Sometimes our six-year-old gets up in the middle of the night and she says she's afraid. And I say, of what? She goes, I don't know. She's just crying at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't handle that particularly well. But as long as it's not 2 a.m. when I should be sleeping, I'm not going to say, what's wrong with you? Stop being afraid. No, I'm going to pick her up Say, honey, what's going on? Why? What are you afraid of? Let's talk about it. Is that true, church?
Yeah.
And when we see scriptures in the Bible where the Lord says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. This is what the Lord said to me. So many of us feel like it's God rebuking us. Don't be afraid. What's wrong with you? God says that. God said, I know you're afraid, but don't be. I'm with you. Do you see this, church? And what's produced is we've taught this, again, unintentionally, but I think we've taught it poorly in general, is it's produced a lot of condemnation in the church. When we do experience fear, when we do, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to feel this way. And so we try to deny this feeling, this acute stress response, this fight or flight feeling, which God actually gave us. Is that true? Am I making sense? You know that Moses, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses was afraid. There's many, many people in the Bible that say that they're afraid. Many. And yet we hear the church say, oh, don't say you're afraid. But I think the key to this, my beloved, is we see in this verse, Joshua was afraid, but turned his attention to seek the Lord. Here's what fear wants you to do. This fear, you know what the spirit of fear wants you to do? Stop looking at God and start looking at whatever's wrong. Just like we heard from our brother here and Gail, and we're hearing this so far this year, right? I said last Sunday, when something's we know we need to pray about something, we can look at what we're praying about and then see God through it, making this big. We're not praying for you, Kevin. You're perfect, bro. All right? But you know what I mean? When we have a situation, kids are messed up, finances, health, whatever we're praying about, we look at the problem and then it makes the problem big and God small. Rather than fixing our eyes on, I think the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, right? Lift your eyes to the hills from where your help comes from. Lift our eyes up and stop looking down. Look up. See God. Know who, not what God is, not what we need, but who God is. Knowing who He is, He's our Father who art in heaven. He's faithful. He's good. He's kind. He will work all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise from God. That's who He is. So no matter what I'm going through, I can trust that. And I can take that fear and say, you know what? You need to back up. I will not allow fear to dictate what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. I remember standing up here many years ago. Said, I'm not afraid of anything. And the Lord's like, oh, really? Because that's a good thought, but it's not true. Because you are afraid of things. Is that true, church? Just think about simple things like this. You know, your spouse is out doing running errands or whatever they're doing, and they're supposed to be home at a certain time, and they're an hour late. Don't tell me your mind doesn't start wandering. So, my gosh, what happened? Right? Acute stress response. Right? It's grab onto that thought. And say, whoa, slow down, slow down, slow down. Is that okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together to seek, everybody say help.
Help,
help from the Lord. You know what the shortest prayer you can ever pray? Help! Help! Lord, I need help. You know how many of us struggle to ask the Lord for help? We do, man. Let's be real. Especially if we've been a Christian for a long time. We think, gosh, I should have this figured out by now. That's not how God thinks about it, church. I don't care if you've been a Christian for a million years. You need help. You ask God for it. God, help me. Is that true? Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, listen to this. Here's his prayer, church. Listen to this prayer. O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands so that no one can stand against you. Did not Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? So he's talking about the promised land and Joshua going in, right? That's what he's talking about. And give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. They have lived in it, have built you sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our distress, and you will, everybody say will, you will hear and deliver us. You will. Yes, these prayers are kind of funny, right? Anybody ever prayed one of these to God, like we're reminding God what he said? Oh, God! Right? Saw a kind of joker. You said! That's what Joshua's doing right here. Lord, look what you said. I was reading this week, chatting with a friend about it, and it hit me. I was like, you know what? Joshua's not reminding God what he said as if he forgot. He's reminding himself what God said, because we forget.
Yes. He's also declaring his promise.
He's declaring the promises of God, right? But again, it's like he's talking to God as if he's like God needs to be reminded what he said he's going to do. Isn't that funny? We do that, don't we? We look at a situation that we're believing God for, nothing happening yet, that it's stretching out, and we start talking to God as if he's dropped the ball. Oh, God! He's like, look, I know what I'm doing. You need to remind yourself what I told you I'm doing. Stop getting caught up in the circumstances, in the situations that you're going through. And again, lift your eyes up. Turn your attention away from the fear and to seek the Lord. Is that true? Where are we at here? Verse 10. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, look what he says, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Here's the good verse, church. Ready? Look at this one. Verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are, say it together, church.
Powerless.
Come on, everybody say it. We are
powerless
against this great multitude. Think of how many prayer sermons and books on prayer that we've ever heard. And you know what they're telling us? Well, brother, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. We're overwhelmingly conquered because of him who loves us. Right? You're the head and not the tail. And on and on and on. Is that all true? Yes, that's all true. Except when we're sitting alone in the dark in our prayer closet, when all hell is breaking loose against us, you know, we don't feel like the head and not the tail. We don't feel like we're overwhelmingly conquering because he loves us. We don't feel like greater is he that's in us than he who's in the world. We don't feel like that. You know what we feel like?
Powerless.
And you know what happens to us because of what we've taught in the church is we feel shame because we think we should be strong. We think we should be declaring the word of God. We think we should be prophesying into it. We think we should be, is all that good? Yes and amen. And if you're there in your walk, praise God. But I guarantee you, my beloved, if you have not been in a situation where you felt powerless, you will be. And it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Boy, I feel the Spirit of God right now. It's all right. We have got to start understanding. God does not look at me like a 44, almost 45-year-old man. You should have this figured out by now. What's wrong with you? He looks at me like a son. He says, it's all right, son. Come on, we'll talk about it again. Come on in. I know you're broken. I know you're hopeless. I know you feel powerless. I know you do. Come. Isn't that good? We are powerless before this great multitude. The Greek word here, the Greek Hebrew word, Old Testament, you know what the Hebrew word is? It literally means nothing. That's the direct translation. Nothing. We're nothing. Wow. You ain't going to hear that in American church. You know what we tell everybody every single Sunday? Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so good. Church, is that true? Sure, it's true. But goodness gracious, can we bring some balance in the Bible? I'm reading stuff straight from the Word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? We're powerless. We're nothing against. Look at this. Look at this problem. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Ever say but, except you. Ever say but. But our eyes are on you. Church, if the devil is going to get you to do anything, is to take your eyes off of Jesus. As soon as he gets you looking at anything but Jesus, you're in trouble. You ain't going to hell. Ain't got nothing to do about being saved or not saved. It's about getting you stuck in whatever you're going through. Is that true? We might get through this whole sermon this morning. Praise the Lord. I was afraid I wasn't going to get through it. I thought I was powerless, but the Lord is helping me. All right, this is the last point. I don't think I was going to get here. This is the last point. This is a good one, too. Let's get to verse 14. Ruth, help us out back there, girl. Jehaziel answers the prayer. This is subtitled in my Bible, Jehaziel answers the prayer. Verse 14, then let's back up. Hang on. Make sure I get verse 13 in here. All of Judah, everybody say all Judah, was standing before the Lord, but they left all the babies at home because babies are annoying at church. Everybody said, amen, babies are annoying at church, aren't they? Man. Somebody shut that kid up back there. Come on, y'all. If babies annoy you at church, you need to get over yourself. Come on, man. You know how many preachers are preaching the gospel today because their parents brought them to church and they running under the chairs and driving church folks nuts? Right? But they were in the house of God, in the presence of God, hearing the word of God. Right, let's give our kids a little bit of room. Let them be kids. A little bit. If they're real bad, just trip them. Let them fall and get some rug burn. They'll be all right after that. A little rug burn never killed anybody. Is that all right? You know, church, it's so important. And can I encourage you? We will need, I'm gonna look over here. We all of us will need to reprioritize things this year. If you want to see God move, you're going to need to reprioritize some things. I'm not talking about the boss calls you, you got to work. No, I ain't going to work because I'm serving Jesus. No, if you got to work, go to work. My goodness gracious. I'm talking about all the time that we spend doing things that we do not need to be doing. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. Yes. That means on Wednesday nights, if you're not working, please come pray. We had a great, man, did we have a great prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I wasn't here. I was not feeling great, but I was online with these guys, and they were going to town in here. It was so good. That's why it was good. The Lord's like, just stay home every week. I'm going to start staying home. Y'all can come. All right? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Been waiting for that day. Set me free. Yes, Lord. The Lord's faithful. He's good. Church, you see it though. Look how important it is. All Judah was before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Get your kids, man. Pray with them. You know, 2 minutes. Pray with your kids. Grab your kids and pray with them. I'm right here. I'm right here. My wife dropped something on her foot the other day, and it was like hurting. And she's telling me her foot hurts, and my two little girls are there. And I look at them, I'm just being real. Speaking in tongues up here now, prophesying in tongues now. I don't normally do this, but I looked at my two little girls. I said, "Yeah, let's go pray for mommy's foot." And my four-year-old, she's like, "I'll start."
Jesus. Jesus. Make mommy's foot better. Jesus. Amen.
I was like, you know what? That's pretty pure right there. Can I get amen? Verse 14. Almost done, church. You'll like this part too. By God's grace. Then, in the midst of the assembly. You know what that means? Somebody out there, not somebody up here. Oh. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord, we were having some dinner with some friends. Also, I was reading this section. His friends are from Texas, and I had somehow the Spirit of Texas came on me. And I said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levites of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear." Again, is God rebuking them right now? I don't think so, church. God's looking at this problem. God's looking at this problem going like, "Look, I got that. That's no problem for me, but I understand how you see it. I understand how you see it," right? He ain't rebuking them. He's saying, "Come on. You know who I am. You know who I am. Don't let that thing twist around in your mind who I am." Right? "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." Amen. Church, you got to get this. I do it. I'm like, "Oh, I got this one." He's like, "No, you don't. No, you don't." He's like, "Yes, I do." And we argue about it. He goes, "Fine, go for it." And then I come running back with my tail between my legs and saying, "Okay, you were right." He goes, "I know. I'm always right. It's the problem. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God." Tomorrow, now look it, he doesn't stop there though. Look what he says. "Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they'll come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. But you need not fight in this battle," verse 17, "but station yourself." Don't fight, but stand your ground. Pretty sure Paul says the same thing. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. He don't say fight. He says stand. Stand right there. I am backing up. This is my ground. You ain't taking it. It's mine. Is that true, church? "Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Verse 18, Joshua had bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Early this morning, my beloved, I was reading this last section, and this is what the Lord said to me. God has done nothing yet except promise a victory. And look at the reaction of the people of God at the word of the Lord. He ain't done nothing yet. You know what we want? We want to see God do something. And then, "Oh, I'll clap my hands a little bit, a little golf clap. Praise God. This battle is still coming. We say, tomorrow, go down there. They still got to go down. They still got to face this army. They still got to face this fear, right? Face it. Stand up. Do not back away. Go down there and do what I told you to do. And at the word of the Lord, it says that they go crazy. They rejoice and they shout and they're laying on their faces worshiping God. He's done nothing except promise a victory. That looks like a prayer of faith to me if I've ever seen one. Can I get amen? Let's stand up to our feet. Wow, I got that done. We're even 10 minutes early. Praise God. There's a lot more in my notes, church, if you want to read them when you get home later today or whatever you want to do. There's a lot more in there. We're gonna springboard right off of this next Sunday. And then two Sundays, we got Brother Joshua coming, really good young man of God. I think I know what he's preaching on. He already told me, but it'll be real good. But I just want to, you know what? I want you to, look, we did this last Sunday. Just get in groups of small. Some of y'all couldn't count last Sunday. Three or four, not seven. Three or four. I just want you, we're taking just a few minutes. Just lay hands on each other. You can hold hands if you want to do that. Just three or four, y'all. Come on. Let's do it. Let's go. I just want to pray just briefly over you as a group, and I just want you guys to just take a few minutes and pray with each other again. Amen? But Lord, don't leave D out. Come on, D, get with somebody. Got another new friend over here. Be obedient, everybody. Be obedient. Be obedient. Yeah. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come. And God, we break every lie. We break every lie that's come from the church. Again, with good intention, trying to get folks to be brave and be courageous. But I think we've not allowed for room for us to experience fear. Which I think is something we all need to experience. You made us like that, God. We shouldn't react to it and live from it, but we need to experience it. And so, Lord God, anybody who suffered shame because they've been afraid, we break that shame off you right now. By the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost, we break shame off right now. Anybody who's looking at something in your life today and just said, man, I don't know how it's going to work out, and you're afraid and you're fearful and you're saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. You know what? You're in good company. King Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do either, but he fixed his eyes on the Lord. I'm looking to you, God. You, in the second, look, church, it says the second he said that, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the man in the assembly, and he started answering. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we rejoice over your answer, even if it doesn't manifest till tomorrow, even if it doesn't manifest till next week or next year or 10 years or 20 years, God, that we rejoice over the word of the Lord. You promised that you said, this is not your battle, it's mine. Do not fight, but don't run either. Amen. Father, anybody can rejoice when the answer manifests itself. But God, I pray that we'd start rejoicing at your word. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing at your word. Yes, God. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name. Church, take a few minutes, just pray for each other. You don't need to drag it out, but if you feel the Lord's giving you something, bring it. In Jesus' name. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you so much. I hope that word is a blessing to you. Love you guys. See you next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.